I'm going to be presenting today is 3 years of observational studies that we've done on the population dynamics of entomopathogenic nematodes in golf course turf grass, with the intention of gleaning some information about our system to better incorporate biological controls against the weevil. Now, the annual bluegrass weevil, ABW, is currently our most destructive insect pest on golf courses in the northeastern United States. It primarily feeds on the shorter mowed grasses around the golf courses, which consequently are the highest value turf grasses because they have the greatest importance to the game of golf. Now, it's because of this that superintendents in our area will apply upwards of 6 chemical applications, usually broad spectrum pyrethroids, to maintain the weevil below damaging thresholds. So in New Jersey, we have 3 generations a year. However, it's the first generation that is the most damaging, the densest, and really the focus for control. Adults emerge in overwintering sites in early April. They walk out onto these short mowed areas where they feed and they mate, and then the female will place her eggs directly into the stem of the turf grass plant. So these first 3 instars are largely protected from most chemical tactics. As a stem borer, the 4th and 5th instars appear in the soil and the thatch matrix, and damage typically shows up around early June in New Jersey. So these multiple applications against multiple generations puts a very strong selection pressure on the populations, and what we're actually seeing right now in the Northeast is the development of resistance in some populations. So it's the goal of our lab is to develop more ecologically sensitive tools, namely biological control for combating the weevil. So in 2005, we conducted a preliminary survey of New Jersey in hopes of uncovering any natural enemies or pathogens of the weevil that we could incorporate into a biological control program. And what we found were 2 species of entomopathogenic nematodes, or EPNs, attacking the weevil at different sites in the state. And the species we found were fairly common species, Steinernema carpocapsi, SC, and Heterobditis bacteriophora, which I'll refer to as HB. Now, in the 3 years of studying this system, they are the only 2 species that we've found attacking the weevil, and they are the only species that we've detected in the soils on our fairways as well. So a little bit about EPNs. They're lethal obligate parasites of a diverse array of insects. They are very generalist predators that possess this infective juvenile stage, a free-living stage that are common in the soils across the globe. Now, what makes them attractive as biological control agents is their ability to cause rapid death to the host, as well as their ability to reproduce in great numbers. Potentially hundreds of thousands of IJs can be produced from a single cadaver. EPN ecology is an area where not a whole lot of attention has been focused, but more so recently. Epizootics are rarely documented, and the impact that endemic populations have on pests of interest usually goes undocumented as well. What we do know is that they tend to be highly aggregated. Due to their limited dispersal capabilities and their high reproductive outputs, they tend to form aggregations that, if not correlated with the pest spatial distribution, they can be limiting as far as their impact. Also, studies similar to the one that I'm be presenting here today have suggested that in temperate zones, in especially in New Jersey turf grass, in sod productions, that EPNs are found in relatively stable densities throughout the growing season. So this stability suggests the possibility for regulation of the pest density, since they will at least overlap in time. So the questions that we want to ask when observing our system really have to do with how we're going to approach biological control. And our first question is, we want to understand what impact do endemic EPNs have on ABW. If it's moderate to high, we might take a conservation biological control approach where we are aware of our practices on the golf courses that we can ameliorate those conditions so that EPNs persist and infect the weevil. But we're also interested in this question of seasonality and stability of the system. And we want to know if this system, which we hypothesize to be rather instable since our pest of interest fluctuates greatly in density throughout the year, we would expect its natural enemy to do the same. So we really want to know about the seasonality in the sense that if it is unstable, then there might be times of the year where the natural enemies aren't in high enough numbers to cause consistent or reliable mortality on their own, and therefore we'd need to inundate them into the system. So to answer these questions, we looked at three different populations in central and northern New Jersey, where we set up permanent transects and stratified those transects and then sampled within. We take samples weekly from the beginning of weevil season in early April all the way until end of October, November, when the last of third generation finishes up. Now we take these soil cores back to the lab where we manually examine them, extract any stages from the plant in a saline solution, and then we bait the soils with wax moth larvae to get a relative estimate of the IJs in the soil. So what impact do EPNs have on ABW? We found infections ranging temporally from June, when the first of the ABW soil stages enter the soil thatch area, all the way until October, when the end of the third generation is apparent. Now, we saw overlap in the stages that each species infected. We saw SC and HV infecting all stages between third instar and tenral adults. However, the majority of the infection were to the large larvae that are present in the soil initially, the fourth and fifth instars. Now, surprisingly, we saw a very tight temporal correlation between the number of infected individuals and the increase in these susceptible stages. Now, this is just shown at one of our sites. However, this trend is consistent at all of our sites in both of the years. As the number of stages increase, so do the infected. However, what we see is a saturation effect. As the density of these susceptible stages increase, the number of infected actually plateaus. Similar to, if you can think of the type 2 functional response of an individual predator, this is what the population is doing as a whole. Also, we see a very sharp decline in the per capita or proportion of ABW that are infected as these densities increase. So as they're increasing in density, a higher percentage are escaping attack, which suggests that our field populations are unable to regulate ABW. We also looked at impact in sort of a partial life table analysis form, where we're only looking at the mortality from nematodes. And what we saw is great variability in our system between years and sites. And what we see in 2006 is fairly nice mortality from these agents. But in 2007, we see very sharp decline in the number or the per capita of ABW that are becoming infected. In 2007, the reverse is true. We saw much increased levels of mortality in 2007. So something suggests to us that this is a really unstable system and that this great variability might be due to what's happening at the population level, which leads us to our second question of whether or not EPNs are seasonally abundant in this system. So our first line of evidence for seasonality can be seen in the percentage of samples with EPNs in 2006 and 2007. We see this peak occurring at approximately the same time at all of our golf courses. Now in 2006, we saw a very nice sharp increase up until that peak, corresponding with a peak in ABW soil samples, soil stages, and consequently we got very nice first generation mortality. However, we experienced very drought-like conditions in 2006, causing the populations to crash as that the soil moisture decreases, as the temperatures increase, it's really choking out the nematodes. Water is essential for nematode movement and persistence and infections in weevils. However, too much of a good thing can be very limiting. And what we saw in early April of 2007 is all three of our sites, indicated by the stars on the graph, received 10 inches or 25 centimeters of rainfall in a 48-hour period, which can be limiting, as you can see, early in 2007. This maintained very low percentage of positive samples up until that seasonal peak. However, we had adequate moisture throughout the summer, maintaining high levels during that second generation, getting very nice mortality against the second generation. Just very quickly, as far as our abundance of each species, we see that SC is seasonally abundant, at least corresponding with those peaks at all three sites. However, we see cycling throughout the year when ABW stages that are susceptible to attack aren't there, suggesting that epizootics are occurring in other insects. HB was shown to be more tightly correlated with the seasonality of our percentage of positive samples, as well as this correlation with the soil stages. So to conclude, EPNs are able to infect AVW. They are able to persist and recycle. This is a good thing as far as moving forward with biological control. However, we saw great variability and the abundance of both of our species throughout the year, suggesting that the system might be a little bit too unstable to rely on the endemic population alone. So therefore, the impact that native populations, as well as our released populations, we need to be considerate of environmental conditions after we release, and that's likely to affect their efficacy. So I'd like to thank the funding agencies and the lab, and I'll open it up to any questions.
When you did that initial survey, were you baiting with galleria or with the weevils?
Galleria. We're hoping that some of our collaborators will get rearing online so that we could do something like that. But I mean, at this time, it's not feasible to come up with enough weevil larvae to do baiting.
Are the weevil populations very mixed age?
Mixed age, yes. And usually, I mean, we see great variability. Our colleagues at Cornell have great data on that as far as the variability between sites and years. And what typically, if there is a typical year, we see very nice tight correlations early against that first generation, and then it just starts to overlap and it becomes very muddled. Yeah, I mean, we work very closely with the superintendents, and we're quite confident that there are resident populations, yeah.